Here's Wilson, and on the right circle, he scores!
Rebound loose, wild scramble in front, score! Ovechkin with a buzzer beater! It'll count!
And a hat trick tonight, number 21, Evan
Braden Holtby.
Hello, welcome once again to the Power Play Point Podcast. This is your host, the Blue Liner on Point, coming at you live to tape from beautiful Glen Burnie, Maryland. And yes, I am alive. I am well. I am back from my seclusion thanks to feeling the flusion. I'm sorry, that was a bad rhyme, but yeah, I'll explain a little bit, but can't do it, of course, without a little help, and here's a little help. She's more than a little help. She's a lot of something else. She is the one and only beautiful, wonderful Fairfax teaching prodigy, the mermaid memeing mentalist. I wish I had other sexy nicknames for her, because she deserves it, but I'll bring her on right now, live from Centerville, Virginia.
Yes.
It's Anna Knox.
Hey, stranger.
Yeah. Hey, yourself.
Man, that flu sucked, huh? What a crappy birthday present.
Damn near sucked the life out of me, I tell you. I won't say who gave it to me as a birthday present, but
your other half, but come on. But you have to admit, though, my sympathy memes to you were gifts to you were a little bit amusing. When you say I have the flu, the only thing that ever comes to mind is that, oh my God, brilliant, hilarious, tears running down my face, bathroom scene from Dumb and Dumber. And you're like, no, it's not that. It's like, all right, then I'm going to go to my other go-to, which is also a clip from Dumb and Dumber with Jim Carrey, Lloyd, I guess, and pretending like, you know, he's about to puke and has that like gag thing going on. And you said, no. I was like, it's got to be one of the two. And you said, then it was like the fever aches and horrific cough. So I didn't have anything for that one.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. That was pretty much, in fact, unfortunately, I still have a touch of the cough, but nowhere near as bad as I was feeling 1 week ago at this time. My gosh, I don't know. I didn't pray for death, but or beg for it, but I don't know that I would have, if it knocked on my door, I don't know if I would have said, go away, put it that way. So.
It is. I had it a couple months ago and it lasted. I don't think I got rid of the cough for almost 3 weeks. I mean, it was awful, but those first couple of days, it was like a freight train hit me. Like I was so drained and so tired. So I sympathize, and it was better that, you know, you didn't go on the air. It's all good.
Yeah, no, I just didn't have the strength or energy. And so sorry, loyal listeners. It was a second miss show in like 4 or 5 weeks. And I really, really hated doing that, but yeah, I know. And we'll most certainly try to be consistent, because we've got some big episodes coming up. Of course, we're approaching playoff time. And today, of course, as we record, it is Monday, February the 25th, around 5:20-ish Eastern time. Trade deadline has come and gone.
Yeah.
We'll get into that a little bit here. But before we do get into the hockey talk, Anna, of course, my birthday did come and go, so I understand you have a surprise for me.
I do. I do have a surprise. And I recall offering for me to jump out of a cake, and you said no. So I said, okay. And then I thought about a singing telegram.
Okay.
And then that, then you were sick. And I'm like, well, I don't want to send somebody over to the house and do something. And then they get sick, because then I'd feel terrible. So I decided to write something just for you.
Okay. I'm all ears.
Uh-huh. Here we go. And mind you, I wrote this all by myself. It's not quite Gil standards, but you'll understand it. Here we go.
Go ahead.
Roses are red. Violets are blue. I bet you didn't think I would write a poem for you. Happy birthday to you, Gil. I will attempt to not be a pill. You took a chance on me, commando, as can be. We are a power play point team, just living the dream, with stats and giggles and terrible puns to make my eyes wiggle. Cheers to the Caps, the team we love the most. Enjoy your day from your amusing co-host. Are you speechless?
A smile on my face right now that I don't think I'm going to get rid of.
Aww.
For a while.
Awesome.
You were talking before about you needing a pick me up. That where was that when I was? Yeah, that was.
I know. Sometimes I surprise myself. Like, let's just be honest. Like, I sent you a card, a gift card, like, blah, generic. And I did do some, you know, investigating, and your wife was spot on, because I said, hey, I got this new mic, and, you know, here's the link, and I'll go in half with you. And she said to me, you know, great idea, but, you know, Gil likes to research and do things on his own. And I was like, you know what? You're right. Because my husband's the same way. Like, God forbid I try out.
Wait. You talked to the missus, my missus, about this?
Not about the poem, about the gift card.
Oh, I see.
Yeah. And so I said, okay, well, you know what? He wants to research microphones and whatnot on his own. I totally respect that, because I have no idea. I'm just like, that one looks good. Like, it's red. Sweet. Let's go. Don't care. Ian got this for me, I think. So we're good to go. So I sent the gift card in hopes that you would buy something that you want. It wasn't that much money, but, you know, whatever, teacher salary. And then I thought, you know what? I really need to do something different. So I thought about it, and I wrote this down, and I can honestly say I did it in one take. What?
You know what? That does not surprise me in the least, because...
Because it's cheesy.
Okay, not just that, but it's also very creative, and you're a very creative person. You're also a very intelligent person.
Keep going. But anyway, so that is your birthday poem from moi.
Well, thank you so much. After the week I've had, that is just the uplift I needed. So that,
awesome.
Thank you so much. I really wasn't expecting that.
I know you weren't. I think you kind of were holding out for something else, and I didn't think I could quite fulfill that. So I was like, you know what? I'm going to do something on my own. I'm going to throw them for a loop. And here's the poem. Like I said, when it's not Gil Sanders, because it's not quite the night before Christmas awesomeness that you did. But this was to you from me. So.
And I dearly, dearly appreciate it. Thank you so much, partner. And
you're welcome.
It was a thing to behold. I will. This is probably one of those rare episodes I'll play over and over and over again. Listening in my car.
Just keep looping it.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome. All right, let's talk about some yay kick-ass games and some not so kick-ass
games. Okay, so yeah, unfortunately, we're in another situation where we got 2 weeks of games worth of recap, so we're kind of going to zip through those. We're a little limited on time. We have a very special guest later on this episode. We are coming to a close of yet another Black History Month. And so we're having a very special guest on as soon as we get done here with the recaps and the trade talk. Of course, there are two big trades that the Caps made, so we'll get into that after the recap. But we're going to have Mr. Stuart Small on with us, and he's going to discuss his personal perspective on being a Caps fan. And, of course, he is an African-American DMV resident most of his life, so he's going to give his take on things, all things Caps. So yeah, we're going to have him on in a little bit, but awesome. Let's catch up here as we can. Let's see. So when we last left you, it was the last game that was played was the Kings game at home.
Right. Their last home game.
And that was the last, that was the, to end the homestand. Then they went on the road trip, the 6-game road trip. And the first game, okay, one sentence, it sucked out loud. I don't know what happened. I'm not even going to go over the stats. It's embarrassing as fuck. They stopped skating. They stopped playing. I don't know what it was. But this team needed to get mad at itself and have a foot up its ass. 0-3 loss in the CBJ. It's that stupid shot of the idiots in the stands doing the koozie bird dance. I was more than throwing my foam brick at the TV after that. Case closed.
Can we go back to what you called it?
Called what?
What you called the game?
The an abomination?
No. Okay. Don't worry about it.
Team needed a foot up its ass?
No, it was before that. It was what you said it could be simplified into one sentence.
Oh, yeah. It sucked out loud.
It did. And that made me think that would just be like a hilarious porn title. But anyways, I got distracted. I had to do it. I haven't. I've had 2 weeks of not being able to have... So there you go. Out loud, and you're choking, and it's in stereo. All right, yeah, that game, it sucked. So let's just watch a little airplane go across the map. We left Ohio, and moving on.
Yeah, moving on. And so one wonders how would this team respond after a dog shit performance like that. Sorry about all the cursing, but I was that PO'd after that game. But fortunately, the Caps would bounce back with a stellar performance over, may I say, one of the better teams in the league. San Jose's looking very, very well. They're looking like true cup contenders.
Absolutely.
And this might well be their year. Not to cast a pall over everything, but they are playing very well. So I was glad to see the effort. Let's see. So Oshie opened the scoring for the Caps. They fell behind 1-0. He ties it 1-1 with his power play goal, his 17th of the year. Jacob Vrana puts them up.
Was that also his 500th point?
I was just about to ask you that. I think this was the game. Wasn't this the game where he got his 500 point?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
Okay, I'm sure it was. So yeah, nice to see that for my number's sake, number 77. I don't know if that goal was his 500th. I think it was.
500 point. On his point. 500 point, not goal.
Point.
Yeah.
Not goal, right. Jacob Vrana would actually put them up for good, as it turned out, with his 18th. He just keeps getting better and better.
Yeah, he does.
Oshie with the, I think that assist might have been his 500th, his assist on the Vrana goal. That might have been his 500th, I think. Backstrom with a secondary assist, his 41st of the year, that put him up for good. And they hadn't even gotten out of the first yet. So the second, Captain gets his 39th. Oshie scores again, making it 4-1. And Tommy Wilson puts the icing on the cupcake with an empty netter, his 15th of the year. He just keeps on increasing his career high. Great game all around.
Yeah, they looked hot.
The only place I would say they still look rather lackluster was in the faceoff dot, but I mean, a win is a win is a win.
Right.
So that's that game.
I just real quick, since we haven't really talked about it.
Sure.
So in the beginning of the season, when things were looking, you know, kind of you're starting to get a feel for who looks hot, who, you know, who could be contenders, whatever. And, you know, I've said it before, I'd never go against the Capitals, but I had on my radar three other teams. Just, you know, if somebody asked me and I had to say yes, I would, the Capitals would be one. The San Jose Sharks would be one. Tampa Bay and the Winnipeg Jets.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. So that's going to be like one of those, you know, if one of those, two of those four teams make it to the Stanley Cup, I'm going to kick myself for not making a bet early on. But those teams are fucking hot. And I will say, when the Capitals played the Sharks, that to me was damn good hockey from the team. Minus the face-off bullshit, they look damn good. And to go into the Shark Tank is intimidating. So they did well.
Yeah, absolutely. Totally agree. And that it was great to see them get that good of a win, look that good on the road. Lifted things because as bad as the game was in Columbus, they really did a complete 180. Pardon me, in that game. So next game after that, they had a few days off, and then another kind of a stinker in Anaheim. I don't know. I guess they had too much fun going to Disneyland or something. I don't know. 2-5 loss. Let's see here. Anything worth?
They just can't.
What's that?
They can't get that team out of their system. And I honestly was hoping that Holtby wouldn't have played. Because whatever it is, you know, like you think he's going to have, you know, issues with the aggressiveness, say, of Boston or, you know, the Islanders, whatever team you want to pull out of your hat. But for some reason, the Anaheim Ducks are just that freaking team that I'm not going to put it all on Holtby, but he did not look good at the game. It was sloppy. It wasn't an exciting game at all. The boys just look beyond exhausted. But I had really hoped Copley would have gone up, you know, against the Ducks in this one. Because they're just a jinx team for Holtby, unfortunately.
Yeah, no, they're just, and what bothers me is they're a nothing team. They're going nowhere. And I don't know. It was at least one point they could have had. They didn't even come up with that. And it just, I don't know, another crap effort against a crap team that they could have easily gotten 2 points banked.
Right.
Whatever. Okay. So moving on to the fourth game of the road trip. Stop me if you heard this before. It's a Monday game against the Kings, this time at Staples. Caps eke out a 3-2 win here. Captain gets his 41st to open the scoring. Connolly follows it up with his 14th, and then Ovechkin gets his 42nd on the power play, which would turn out to be the winning goal. Caps let down late in the third, give up two goals, but thankfully they would hold on to the lead. All right, last two games we're going to go over real quick. Toronto, pretty much the same result. Almost the same game as identical to the Kings, I thought. Almost identical, if you think about it. Ovechkin and Connolly both scored, and they gave up some goals late. Right. And they eke out a 3-2 win. So, carbon copy. And then on to Buffalo. I think they were just out of gas at that point. 2-5 loss. And thus endeth the road trip. And yeah, it kind of showed. I didn't expect much, to be honest, from this matinee game. And then they play another matinee at home yesterday against the ranges yesterday, Sunday afternoon, as I said. And yeah, almost another letdown as they let it go to OT. And then they do the, well, they reminded me of when I played floor hockey in gym class. I tapped the puck in to the goal at the same time my friend did. They didn't know who to credit it to, so they gave us each half a goal. Well, that's what they should have done on the last play. I get they ended up giving it to Kuznetsov. He's like, I don't care. But yeah, he's,
you know what, I walked away from winner. That game. Yeah, no, he either whoever got it was going to be, I was going to be okay with. But I will say that that was one of those. That was one of those games where it was physical from the puck drop. It was going to be hardcore, and they finally showed their 60 minutes. And I loved the game. It was aggressive. God, it was physical. I was starting to get on that, like, I hate this D'Angelo guy. but you know what? They looked good. I will say the one that's the pro, the con for me in the Rangers game, the passing sucked. They were just, you know, one step, you know, either ahead or behind it. It was like, come on, boys. I'm glad that they didn't give up on the physical end of things. And certainly my boy Tommy didn't give up on the aggressive end of things. I feel like Copley had, you know, one or two goals that he probably should have had. And the other ones, like you said, were just those flukes that, like, what the hell? Like, nobody could have, you know, nobody saw that coming.
Yeah, this game was fluky goal after fluky goal, and it was just a mess.
It was. It was. So, but you know, I was watching it, and then I had to take my son to an ice skating. What was it? Like a fundraiser for his school, and he's like, "All right, you know, like let's go." I'm like, "But it's almost over." So I got in the car and I had John Walton on, and it was just like, oh my God. And you know, of course now my son is white knuckled in the car, like, seriously, mom, you need to chill out. I'm like, I can't. They're going into overtime. I can't believe this. And then, you know, these terrible goals against or penalties against Orpik. But anyways, they came out on top, and the fundraiser was a blast, and that was that.
Okay, glad to hear. Okay, so real quick, before we get to our special guest, let's talk what went down as far as the two deals that the Caps made. All right, the first one I want to get out of the way because I have nothing but praise for this deal. The one they got for Jensen from Detroit. I think that was a pretty good deal. It was a lot like what GM BM did to grab Michael Kempney last year. This guy's a needle in a haystack. I'd never heard of him, honestly, but the more I read up on him, and of course, certainly his play yesterday, I liked what I saw. And yeah. So I think he's going to inject some life into the top six now. He's going to make some of those bottom six guys really earn their time, and he's got good wheels, and you know, they praised his movement, his skating with the puck is what seems to be what impresses the pro scouts. So keep your eye on that. Whenever he's got the puck and he's moving with it, He's one of the more mobile defensemen in the league. It seems like that's the book on him. So that's something to keep your eye on. And I think, fortunately or unfortunately, you're going to see a guy like maybe a Juice who's not. I don't know if he's 100%. He looks like he's still working himself into game shape. Maybe those two will platoon or something like that. So I look for something like that to happen. But I think that was the better of the two pickups.
Yeah.
And of course, the other trade, oh boy. I wish I had more time to go on about this. But look, you guys, I spoke to a lot of my fellow fans in True Caps fans rooms and other rooms, and everybody seems to be over the moon about this deal. Of course, I'm talking about the one that got Carl Hagelin over to this team. I want to point something out. This was pointed out by the guys over at the Puck Podcast. you notice that teams are paying to get rid of this guy. Look, I understand he's got wheels and he's of some worth, but at the same time, why did he get traded from two teams? It's not necessarily because, you know, they want to find a home for him or something like that. It's because he doesn't provide what really they thought he provided. So, yeah, I guess he's going to be a great addition on the PK, and he's going to provide some wheels and some much-needed speed on the bottom set. I get that. But, I mean, everybody's looking at this with rose-colored glasses because basically, yeah, we got him for nothing, got the Kings to stick him, stuck with half his salary for the year, and he does walk at the end of the year. Fine, but, I mean, really, think about it. What are we getting? We're getting a guy with NHL-caliber legs, yes, but AHL hands.
Oh, no, damn.
He can't finish. He can't finish. Yes, he's come up big in the playoffs, but yes, he also takes bad penalties, like the one he took in yesterday's game. Okay, right. Previews are coming attractions. I hate to be a contrarian, but just keep watching him. You'll see what I mean. Now, I'm not. Maybe he'll turn it around in the playoffs. Maybe he's one of those guys that, you know, just turns it on come April. I don't know, but I'm not. Look, I can't be in the overly impressed camp just because we got him for just about nothing. Okay, there is a downside to this guy, and if you keep watching him, you will see what I mean. Okay, and I really don't know how he fits with this team, to be honest. But if they put him exclusively on the PK, I think he'll be at his best there. But if they try to do more with him, try to get more out of him, yeah, I don't know. But something to keep your eye on. I would say that'd be my suggestion. Use him exclusively on the penalty kill, but nowhere else. Don't give him too much more than regular fourth line duty, I guess. Anna, did you have any thoughts on the two deals at all?
Oh, I like the deals. You know, I wasn't sure how I'd feel about it, but I'll agree with you. I like Jensen vibe a little bit more. But I feel like, you know, Hags is, he's kind of already coming into, you know, this knowing that he's been traded. Like, it can't feel good. You know, it's a crappy feeling to be like, oh, I've been traded because I didn't do this, and this team might have just settled for me or whatever. So it is really truly up to the player to come out and say, okay, new city, new uniform, new players, but I'm still the same athlete, you know, so I need to come out and kick ass. And I feel like once he gets the Capitals fans behind him and people see, you know, I have faith in him. You know, I've had issues, you know, McClellan in the past being like, I'm not really sure about that. But I feel like he thought this out. I think he did a good job. And I think that both of them are going to do well. And I love that I have a number 3 in the roster that I can. So now I've got 3, 13, 23, 43. And it's all good.
All right. Sounds good. Okay, so with that, we'll close the catch-up for this past week, and now we will get to our very special guest who's been waiting patiently on the line with us, and as I said in the introduction of the show, we are coming to the end of yet another Black History Month, that being the month of February, and we like to celebrate different points of view here at the Power Play Point podcast. We've been focusing on women's perspective, but this being Black History Month again, I wanted to get someone on who, frankly, I have admired from afar. He is a regular contributor to the True Caps Fans Facebook room. He makes very astute comments. And on his personal Facebook page, I've actually enjoyed his postings of tidbits of great moments in African American history. Well, I say great, some more infamous, but I personally, as a history buff, I've enjoyed his posting. So I'll stop blubbering now and just go ahead and introduce him, Mr. Stuart Small. Stuart, how are you doing this evening?
Hey, doing just fine. Kind of getting over a cold, so please bear with me a little bit. But other than that, I'm doing all right.
Oh, I know exactly. I know exactly where you're coming from. I still have a touch of the flu myself, and that's why we didn't have a show last week. So I know exactly where you're coming from. Yeah, thanks very much for coming on with us. I know you had to bend your schedule around. I really hate that we had to do that to you, but really, really, really appreciate your coming on. As I said, I've admired your postings on Facebook for a while, and we really wanted to get you on to get your take on how you think the Caps are doing, and of course a hockey fan. A perspective of a hockey fan that is an African American, part of that community.
Right.
We'll start off. I'll start off with this. How did you become a Caps fan?
Well, it's funny. Growing up, I was a big sports fan. I watched all sports, but I wasn't really good at sports except for floor hockey. For whatever reason, that was the sport I always did well in. And so when I learned that DC had a new hockey team that played right up the street from me. I grew up in Landover, Maryland, right around the corner from the old Capitol Center. I wanted to check it out, and I begged and pleaded and moaned for my dad to take me to a game, and he took me to a game, and I had an absolute wonderful time, and I've just been a hockey fan ever since. So as you can imagine, that first year when we won just 8 games, and then fast forward to 6 years later when the team almost relocated, to finally get to June 7, 2018 for us to finally win the Stanley Cup was just quite the ride for me. I will never forget that.
That's so awesome.
Oh, so great to hear. Did you get a chance to get involved in the youth hockey program from the Fort DuPont Ice Arena?
I did not, unfortunately. We really couldn't afford to do that, and plus my parents had other ideas in mind for me, but I followed hockey from afar. Whenever there was a game on TV, I would watch it. Whenever there was something in the newspaper, I would read it. And then one thing that my dad used to do when he was going to work is that he would always leave a score for me whenever the Caps played the night before. And of course, I couldn't stay up to watch the whole game or listen to the whole game. He would always leave the final score for me at my plate where I ate breakfast in the morning. So that was always a good thing. That kind of kept me in touch with things.
That's so awesome.
That's great. That's absolutely great. And you mentioned your parents having other ideas. How did they feel about your kind of taking to that? I'm trying not to be negative here, but that's, as can be seen, it's not exactly a quote unquote traditional sport to get into. How did they feel? Were they supportive? I mean, well, obviously your father, you know, left you notes, but initially and beyond that, through your formative years, how did they feel about that?
They really didn't say much about it. I mean, I have to say that growing up there, they were kind of like, yeah, that's nice, whatever. At least my mom was, yeah, that's nice, whatever. Dad would at least act like he was interested in what I'm saying. So, and in reality, I loved all sports. You know, I was a big Bullets fan, still am, Wizards, Bullets, whatever you want to call it. Of course, Redskins fan. And so I followed all sports, but there was just something about hockey that I really, 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 really liked. And I just tended to gravitate to that. And my dad would buy me hockey toys, whether it was one of those electronic games or an air hockey table or a hockey setup game. So really, he was the one who took it serious and saw that I liked it. So they really didn't have a problem with it whatsoever. I think with them, though, is that they really didn't know that much about hockey. I mean, I think between the two of them, what they knew about hockey could fit into a bee stinger. So I was a hockey fan there, and I just followed it myself. They really didn't know the history of it. They really didn't kind of look at it as an all-white sport, if you will. It was just something that I enjoyed.
That's right. Well, yeah, I have...
That's...
Sorry. I was going to say, go ahead, Anna. Yeah. Hi, Stuart. I'm so glad that you're on the show tonight. Like, again, I follow you on Facebook and I feel like we have a lot in common. So one of these days I hope to meet you in person. I'm wondering if you have a player that you admired in the past, that, you know, one that you followed, and do you have one today on the current 2018-2019 roster that you're just an absolute fan of?
Right. Well, you know, it's funny you mention that because, of course, the second black player to play in the NHL played for the Caps. And for my very first game, there was a special promotion where you can get a pregame picture with a player. And so I was paired up with Mike Marson, said player. And so I was a fan of his and I follow him. And in fact, he's one of the jerseys I wear to Caps games. And they had brought him back one night. They were doing a salute to him, and he was sitting in the owner's box. So I made my way over and introduced myself. I got to talk to him. I got a picture with him. It was just amazing to talk to him because he was the first Caps player I ever had my picture taken with. So there was him. And, of course, Rod Langley, I'll always have a special affinity for him because, and I told him this when I met him, he taught this team how to win. He brought the winning tradition, showed the team what it took to be disciplined and to be successful on the ice. And he really changed the course of hockey in this town. And in fact, I say if you don't have Rod Langway, there is no Rock the Red today. There is no June 7th, 2018, where we won our first Stanley Cup. Yeah. So Rod Langway will always be another player who will always have a special place in my heart. And of course today, Alex Ovechkin, obviously. Right. And you alluded to it earlier, Tom Wilson. And people will say, yeah, you like Tom Wilson because he fights. I'm like, no, I like Tom Wilson because he has edge.
Yeah.
Remember growing up, this team always used to be pushed around by those great Islander teams with Billy Smith and Dennis Potvin, and they would just abuse us. And, of course, we would get Dale Hunter, and he brought edge. He brought attitude. He brought, if you're going to mess with us, we're going to push back, and you're not going to like it. And so that's why I like Tom Wilson. We've got guys there who will say, we're not going to be pushed around, and that you need that. Yes, you need your superstars. Yes, you need your solid defenseman, but you also need someone who, if he's on the other team, you can't stand him. But if he's on your team, you want 20 of them, and that's Tom Wilson.
Absolutely. Well, and I've been a Tommy supporter for a couple of years now, and probably ad nauseum to some of the listeners. But I will say that I mean, Ovechkin, please. The guy is a hockey god these days. Yeah. But Tommy, I feel like this was a year that, even with a ridiculous suspension in the beginning, for how long it was, he has showed maturity and showed a leadership. Yeah. And showed a, you know what, he can have a restraint, you know, like he can hold back. I feel like yesterday he was really ready to go with D'Angelo, and I was too. I was like, let's go. Drop right. The gloves, take a pounding. Right. But I feel like he is that guy on your team that I don't see him as a dirty player.
I don't
think that that's a bias at all, but I don't feel like he's a dirty player. I feel like this is, not only are the Capitals, his teammates, but that's his family out there. So someone's going to mess with Holtby. You better believe Tom Wilson's going to be, you know, one of the first people up there to drop the gloves and step in. And I think that he's getting, he's earned his name aside from just being, you know, pain train Wilson to, you know, scoring, you know, 15 goals in the last, however many games he's been back since the suspension. So I've been nothing but impressed. And I will say, you know, for anyone, if you've ever met him in person, and I have a couple of times, he's not only easy on the eyes, but he is, he's very charming, but he's very humble. And I think that that's always that side that the people that absolutely hate him think that, you know, he's just an asshole everywhere. And he's truly not. But he is an athlete that I admire, and you know, he takes his sport seriously, and he's just not one to mess with. So,
Tom, well, you know, I'm going. I'm sorry.
No, that was it.
Yeah, no, I was just saying, it's funny you mentioned that. Yeah, I've met him quite a number of times off the ice, and he is a great guy, funny guy. And it's so funny that the guys you hate on the ice are among the nicest guys in the world. I remember when I was working at News Channel 8, and I had to interview a few players, and as I was getting set up to interview Don Beaupre, I see Dale Hunter with his son. His son was playing a video game, and there's Dale Hunter, you know, this ornery guy who everyone hates, supporting his son. I'm thinking to myself, yeah, there's the dirtiest player in hockey. Wow, okay. So it's so funny how that works out.
Yep. Oh, I agree. And I don't know whether you know this or not. So I grew up in the Bay Area. So I was part of, you know, when the Sharks came to town, and it being like, you know, such a big deal. And right. when they signed Brett Burns, the story that came along with him was, oh my God, he's scary. He doesn't have his two front teeth. And I'm like, hello, it's hockey. You know, and his big thing was that he was coming with a separate moving truck of snakes. He's like obsessed with like boa constrictors and things like that. And I thought, who the hell is this guy? And, you know, he's, you know, oh, they made him just sound like, you know, he was never going to fit in. What the hell is he doing in hockey? And that is a guy that loves his kids and his family unconditionally, that, you know, growing up with the San Francisco Chronicle and the San Jose Times and everything else talking about the players, he was one that was always mentioned for all the charity stuff that he did that didn't need to be in the limelight for. But I always laugh because, you know, he's such a burly guy on ice and he's such a badass, but you get him around his kids and he's like, you know, yeah. Pudding. Yeah. It's like, he's just a big old softy. So it's good. You know, sometimes it's, you know, we have to step back and say, you know what, hey, these guys are human. And, you know, and it's a good thing. So yeah, I like to see that side of him. There are a couple of players that I'm like, I don't know, Ryan Reeves, you could save a bunch of puppies and I'm probably still going to hate you.
So. Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. I was just going to say that's probably the one thing that hockey has over all other major sports, I think, is the players seem to be just that much more approachable away from the playing surface. I think that's what it's got over all of them. And we had, unfortunately, he's unofficially no longer with the team, but I think we had a great ambassador for the community, that being Devontae Smith-Pelly. Sad to see him sent down to Hershey, but I think he did wonders for the community when during this cup run. But that kind of brings me to a kind of a broader question that I have for you, Stuart. Being an African American, what do you think the league in general ought to be doing, or should they be doing more? That is, if anything, in terms of getting more fans from that community involved in the game.
Well, I kind of see them doing this now, the Hockey is for Everyone initiative, and that mobile truck that's making its way here, that was here today and will be here till Wednesday, showing blacks in black hockey history, if you will, which I'm going to try to visit tomorrow before the game. I think that those are keys to show that blacks have made significant contributions. Well, I shouldn't say significant, but blacks have contributed to what is a wonderful game. And a lot of black players are coming up through the game as well. I don't know if you're familiar with the website. I can't think of the address off the top of my head, but for Black History Month, they have a whole section dedicated to black history and hockey. They talk about different players. And one of the things that they're talking about, or that they had a section on, was up and coming players. So I kind of see them doing that a little bit, but to me, I wish they wouldn't just wait until Black History Month to do it. I mean, what I'd love to see them do is to keep pushing their Hockey is for Everyone initiative, and then maybe have that section to show that minorities have made contributions, not just blacks, but Asian-born players, Native American players, that sort of thing.
Oh, yes, absolutely. And I wouldn't call, well, I did some research on this myself many moons ago. I actually did an episode a long, long time ago for Black History Month, and what I found was astonishing. Basically, in the Canadian Maritimes, the earliest recorded involvement of those of, and of course it was in Canada, but those of African heritage in the sport of hockey, really, if you think about it, it was an ideal setting, but it was rooted in the church communities of the maritime provinces.
Really?
Yes. The African American communities started forming hockey clubs based on the local churches, and that's how they got involved in the game. And they had their own, they had their own private leagues. I forget the name of the professor who helped me on this. His first name is Gary something. I his name escapes me. I wish I were a little bit more prepared, but he actually wrote a journal on this, and I hope he still has a site up on this. But it was so educational when I first found out about it. But they organized games between communities in the Maritimes, and that's how they got involved in the game. And it was just astonishing to me that they would be that involved in it as such a long, long time ago in the game's roots, basically. It was around the turn of the century, and it was just fascinating to me. And I'll see if I can get you, if I can find that link to that original article, I'll send it to you. But then that of course evolved into the Ontario provinces, where Herb Carnegie was the first player to draw some interest from the pro clubs.
Right.
Conn Smythe made his infamous comment about, I won't repeat it, but
I know exactly what you're talking about.
basically, if Herb Carnegie were another color, he'd have been signed to the richest contract he could sign him to. Which, a good and a bad thing. But like I said, history's not without its bad moments. And then, of course, a few decades later, you had Willie O'Ree breaking the color line for his one or two seasons with the league. And a lot of a lot of things. Something that people don't realize about Willie O'Ree as well. Not to go off on too much of a tangent, for the majority of his professional career, he only played with one eye, one good eye.
Right.
If you think about that, that he had to overcome basically two things just to make it as a hockey player and be a decent one, be considered good enough to play in the big league. And this of course was in the late 40s and early 50s, where there were only six teams in the National Hockey League. You got to consider that a great feat, a great accomplishment. So, sorry, those of you who don't like history, but I had to gush over that because I think that's a great moment in the game, great teaching moment, great thing to put out there. And here we are now. It's years and years later, and now we've got great ambassadors of the game like Devontae Smith-Pelly, P.K. Subban, years past, Wayne Simmons, Mike Greer in years past.
Landed him. I really do. That kills me. We weren't able to get him. I think we've gotten him.
I like Simmer a lot. I posted this in Sonia Kendall's room. I like Simmer a lot. I think he could add to the team, but he's got that expensive contract, and as hard as he plays, he's been banged up, and I'm scared for him because I think he's just one bad hit away from really not being as effective as he normally is. So I'm kind of glad when you consider that they didn't get him. But I think that's a great pickup by Nashville in getting him. That he's going to add to their cup run. That's going to be interesting to watch as well.
Nashville's become a really dangerous team because of that pickup.
Yeah, they have. Yeah, and it's funny because I'm actually going to Nashville for the first time in a couple of weeks. Ooh. And I said to a coworker, I was like, oh, you know, I've never been. My husband and I are to get away for a couple of days. He has this conference thing to do. And they said, oh my God, are you going to go to a Preds game? No, because they're really damn good. I said, and I don't know if I could sit, you know, I don't do well in opposing teams' homes. Let's just put it that way. Like, I want to be, you know, I just want to be in DC watching the Caps. I don't want to go to another city and have to deal with all the drama and whatnot. But the Preds, yeah. Well, Gil and I talked about this before. I've had on my radar, aside, you know, from the Capitals, the Tampa Bay, which is on fire. The Preds, I mean, they're just aggressive. You know, they're a damn good team. And Winnipeg and San Jose, I think, you know, they're just teams to watch out for. And I think, you know, we've got, you know, we're just going to do the best we can. And with Wayne, you know, would have been nice, but then I honestly, after looking at what happened to Zuccarello and Dallas, it's like, hey, look, there was a trade. Everyone was excited, and now he's out for 4 weeks. So you just never know what's going to happen. We'll see.
Yeah. No, absolutely. Okay. So, sure. Go ahead.
Yeah, if I may, you had asked earlier about trying to get more in the way of just to show minority communities that hockey is a great game. I think back to when Fatima Ali of the United Arab Emirates was here.
Yeah.
That,
oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
Yes. Absolutely.
It was so amazing. And for me, it was especially amazing because, unfortunately, I got to go into history. As I started to go to hockey games by myself at the old Capitol Center, I'm sorry to say, sometimes I would get comments like, the basketball games tomorrow where brothers ain't supposed to be here anyway. But to see the love that the Caps fans gave her, especially after the game, I came over to the president's suite and I introduced myself just to say hello and welcome. And a lot of other people were doing that. And I just thought to myself, man, how times have changed. It was such a good thing to be a part of. It was a great thing to be a part of. So we're getting there. We got a long way to go, but I thought that was a very nice thing to happen. And once again, showing that a lot of different people from different walks of life can and do play this sport and can play at a top level.
Oh, I could not agree more. And I think that, you know, aside from if we're, you know, just talking about just differences and things, the fact that Gil and I have the podcast and there are a lot of women hockey fans out there, but not a lot on podcasts. And so I'm become like an absolute big supporter of anyone, you know, females that want to come on. Like, we're going to do a female show in a couple of weeks. And I can't wait because, you know, we're out there, but people think, oh, you know, you just like hockey because that, you know, because you want to be a puck bunny. It's like, how offensive is that? So, you know, there's those issues. And then when it comes to just recently having, I don't know if either one of you follow them or not, but there is a group of women who have come, and Devontae Smith-Pelly was a huge supporter of of the women, right? Did you see them? Mm-hmm. And it's like, fantastic. You know, get out there. I don't, you know, I was trying to find their name and it's like, I'm apologetic that I can't remember it right now.
Women of color, something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know and what you're talking about because I meant to mention them before, but you beat me to it. So thank you for mentioning that.
Yeah. And I mean, just absolutely fantastic that, you know, here's, you know, we don't need to be knocking ourselves down about looks and weight and, you know, this and that. It's like, when we all come together as, you know, with a common, you know, sport or whatever it is, be quite powerful. So I love that. And I love that they come to the game. And I remembered like just Devontae Smith-Pelly, like shortly after was just sort of blown away. And I thought, yeah, we need to keep this, you know, keep riding this wave because It's awesome. And I agree. It doesn't just need to be only in February that we're acknowledging players. Like, you know, it's, it should be every day. And that's, so that's just awesome. But yeah, those women, and I'm a huge supporter of, and I hope at some point, when they come to the next DC game, I can, meet up with them for sure.
Yeah, they might, who knows, they might be there tomorrow night, given that Willie O'Ree and John Lewis are going to have that special puck drop before the game.
True. Oh, I didn't even think about that. Holy, that nice. Would be amazing.
Nice. Wish I could go to that.
I'll be there, and I'll be taking pictures. Stay tuned.
sweet.
Please do. And now, okay, go ahead. Since are you a season ticket holder?
I was, but I gave up my tickets after the end of last season because I have a condo now, and I have to be an adult.
Yeah, it's not the worst. You're like, what the hell? When did this happen? So that's now. Do you have a certain area that? I mean, I know there are people who like to be up against the glass, which is fantastic. But I kind of feel like no matter where you are watching the Capitals, you have a good seat.
Well, for me, I like sitting in the club level. A, you can see plays develop there, but B, as you both know, I take pictures at the game, so I get my best pictures from up there.
Awesome. So great. Now I'm like even more excited for the Ottawa tomorrow. Is that correct?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. Ottawa's Tuesday tomorrow night. One last quick question for me. Stuart, sounds like you've been everywhere as far as kind of as media goes, kind of in and out. You said you were with News Channel 8 for a. What are you doing these days?
Well, oddly enough, I'm a federal government employee. I am a copy editor, so I'm still using my journalism skills. And the funniest thing, I work right down the street from Verizon Center, Capital One Arena, so I can just park there for free and walk to the arena.
I'm going to become your new best friend.
That's fine. I'll get you a ride.
We would have a blast. The game will go to Matchbox first, then head over.
Tony Chang's.
There we go. Yeah.
There you go.
I'm still trying to finagle a way to get to that March 10th Jets game because it's on my birthday. So, I'm gonna figure something out. If I have to go by myself, I'm okay. I know, Gil. I know your buddy Peter's coming out from. Arizona. He said he's going to be there. So it's like, I have incentive to get out there. It's just, I got to find that ticket.
We'll do a dance for you.
Oh my God. I might just.
Oh, don't get her started. Don't get her started.
I love it. Oh my God. I think I would faint. All right. I know it's time to wrap up.
Yeah. Yeah, no, listen, if it were up to me, we could go on and on and on for the rest of the evening, but as it turns out, we both got a little business later on with Sports on the Hill.
Yes.
Stuart, did you have anything you wanted to plug? I always say this, and I try to mean it. Whenever we have a Caps fan, a true Caps fan on here, we try to make them the star. You have anything you want to plug, anything you want to get off your chest, any final thoughts, anything at all, next few minutes are yours.
I just want to remind folks out there that the Blacks in Hockey History mobile truck will be in front of the Canadian Embassy today, 11 to 7, tomorrow, 11 to 7, and Wednesday, 11 to 7. That's something that people really need to see just to show those who have made contributions to the sport that you may not know about. Now, I personally, as you know, am a history buff, so I'm looking forward to seeing that tomorrow. And, of course, tomorrow night, as we mentioned, Congressman John Lewis and Willie O'Ree are going to participate in a special puck drop before the game against Ottawa. So that's something that's really going to be great. And so I just wanted to mention those two things.
Okay.
And then you have a new best friend. Awesome. Her name is Anna Knox.
Of course.
And we're big old Tom Wilson fans, so it's all good.
Yeah, Mrs. Wilson. Right. Let's see, Anna Wilson.
I think it sounds amazing, Anna Wilson. Yeah, it just kind of rolls off your tongue. It's amazing.
Not trying to get you in trouble.
Right. My husband's like, whatever.
Well, Matt Bradley's still with the organization, isn't he?
There you go. See?
Yeah, love Matt.
How can you not? How can you not?
There's a name from the past. but speaking of that, Stuart, I'm speaking for Anna too, I'm sure, but really, really enjoyed having you on. It was great hearing you talk about not only how the Caps are doing now, but some names of the past that you threw out there. I couldn't help but smile as you were talking about the old rivalry with the Islanders, which of course is probably starting anew with the revival they've had under Coach Trotz.
Yeah.
And of course, to hear you talk about your perspective as a person of color and you know what that means. And I think we all need to learn from diverse points of view. We all become richer for that. And that's why we try to present different points of view because I think we have the greatest hockey fan base because our community is so rich in quality people from different communities. And we just had one on. So Mr. Stuart Small, thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much again for coming on with us.
It was a pleasure.
And being with us and you know, telling your story. And actually I would love to have you on sometime down the road again. Because you've got your media savvy, obviously. You've got a great voice. You've got great perspective, great knowledge of the game, and yeah. So we would definitely love to have you back on sometime down the road.
Anytime, I'd be more than happy to do it.
Can't wait just to see your pictures tomorrow. Have a great time,
Thank you very much.
Be in touch on social media.
Yes, ma'am.
All right. Take care.
Take care, guys.
Take care. Thanks for doing this.
Hey, my pleasure.
All right. Have a good evening.
You too.
Bye-bye.
So awesome. What a great
so
guy.
So awesome indeed. That's why, I mean, that's like I said, I've admired him from afar, from take that what you will, for quite a while now. He's as you heard just now, he's very well spoken. He's very articulate. Very smart, knows the game, and
and he's a Tom Wilson fan. So let's just start with that. Kidding aside, he's awesome. I have too been following him for a while on Facebook, and I do look forward to his pictures tomorrow because that's great. And, you know, it's always fun to just have somebody come on who is as passionate as fans as we are. And then, like you said, a different perspective. So spot on.
Most certainly. And yeah, I couldn't be happier to have him on. I knew we were good. You know, we were going to have a great guest on, but wow. I think he, I don't know about you, but, I know about you because he's a Tom Wilson fan.
You're a little tongue-tied, and it's kind of cute.
He blew me away.
Apparently.
That's for sure. And that's, yeah, wow. So I think we're all good. So as both Stuart and Anna mentioned, previews of coming attractions, tomorrow night is their next game, they being the Caps, of course. It is an evening game against the Ottawa Senators, 7 o'clock puck drop.
Yeah.
At Cap One. And then they break for a few days and then they go on the road again. New York, New York.
That's going to be a tough
one. Say it twice, but it's not so nice. Friday against the Islanders and then Sunday, another. Oh boy. Stop me if you heard this before. Another Sunday matinee, this time in MSG. Mm. Hopefully they won't have an MSG buzz. Like I just got because I had too much Panda Express, but never mind. Okay, so that's the next few games coming up. Hopefully the deadline acquisitions will start to gel and we march towards the playoffs. No pun intended. Who am I kidding? Pun intended. And so I think this is a good place to stop.
Yeah.
And we are actually going to be featured on this evening's edition of the Sports on the Hill podcast. Yeah. Yours truly has been asked for his perspective on the deadline deals. So you will be hearing my dulcet tones alongside of the ever lovely Anna's as well.
No, I call in, I do the first half around 7 and then it's all you. You and I'll probably hang up because I'll be spent.
I think the listeners know that already, because if you can't get enough of Anna here, you can get more of Anna there. And as I say, you can never get enough of Anna anywhere, anytime, any place.
But you really can. And now I'm curious as to you listening to my fantastic, you know, highly educated and intelligent and fabulous poem I wrote you, what it would sound like backwards. Just kidding. If it would have a different message.
I'm pretty sure my sound editor can play it backwards.
Wouldn't that be great? If there was like some, that would be, who knows what it would say.
You put a little subliminal message in there?
A little Anna Wilson. What? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go ahead, do your
we're running over on time here. We're in danger of spilling over into Sports OTHP. So yes, do please listen to us there. And so we'll wrap it up here for another week of Caps Hockey Talk. And barring me getting the plague again, we will definitely be on next week for another edition of the show. Thanks for listening. So this is the Blue Liner on Point, wrapping it up for you and reminding you that atheism is a nonprofit organization. Hallelujah, and let's go Caps.
Go Caps.
This has been another episode of the Power Play Point Podcast. All episodes are available from Apple Podcasts, the Podbean app, blueliner77.podbean.com, and now available from Stitcher. Music by Joe McAllister, voiceover by Jeffrey Conkle.